So we've been looking, this is our fourth week that we've been looking at the promises or the instructions that Paul has given us. The instructions that Paul gave us about putting on the full armor of God. Now I'd love to do a review of the last three works, of the last 3 weeks, but I have enjoyed putting this together so much. I always enjoy the word, but I've enjoyed this so much. You have no idea how much stuff I've cut out. I've got pages and pages of notes I haven't even used. So I know that if I start to do too much of a review on this, I'll get so excited in that again, and I'll start to bring up some of the things I haven't, and we'll never move forward. So if you missed any of the last 3 weeks, you can listen or you can watch online at cityonahilltc.org. But let's go to the word again. We're going to have this memorized by the time we get through this series. This is Ephesians chapter 6, and it is verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what Paul has instructed us to do, to put on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to review. I'm just going to give you a few highlights from last week so we can build upon those. So last week we looked at verse number 13. And we saw in verse number 13, we saw what Paul intended for us to understand when he used the words whole armor and when he also said to withstand. So hopefully we're beginning to see ourselves as we really are in the spiritual realm. Hopefully we're beginning to see ourselves as that heavily armored infantry of Jesus Christ as we go through our daily walk. Now we also saw last week, and this is key to remember, we saw that Jesus has taken from Satan his armor. So we are instructed to put on the armor of God, but it's clear that Jesus has taken from Satan his armor. That means that Satan has no armor against you. It says that in the same time, we saw this, in the same time that Jesus stripped the enemy of his power and authority, he took from him his armor. So Satan has no armor against the sword of the sword of God that you wield when you speak the word of God. You speak the word and he has no armor, no defense against that at all. So as we stand in the whole armor of God, picture your enemy standing before you. He has no power, he has no authority, and he has no armor. You stand and he will flee from you. We also saw last week that the body of Christ, we've not been well trained to stand and to fight. We've not been trained in that area. But our training ground is in those small daily battles that come up every day. It's in those small aches and pains. It's in those discouragement, those frustrations, all those small things. In those daily battles, that's our training ground. So speak the word against those small battles. Speak the word and stand on the word of God. Do not yield until you see the victory. And then experiencing that victory in those small daily battles, we are then trained and prepared to stand and to fight and to receive all of the promises of Jesus Christ. So hopefully by now, we can see ourselves in that spiritual realm, and we can see ourselves in the whole armor of God. And in that whole armor, we can withstand the enemy. We can withstand all of his attacks. We can advance the kingdom of God, and we can put the enemy to flight in our lives and in the lives around us. So we've really come to the place, as we're learning about putting on the whole armor of God, we've come to the place where the next logical question that comes to our mind is probably, how do I actually put on the whole armor of God. Because it's more than just a spiritual metaphor. This is something I am supposed to do. But it's spiritual, so I can't see it. So how do I go about actually putting on the whole armor of God? That's what I'm going to look at today. That's a good question. And we find the answer to that as we continue, as we look at those verses. We look at those verses from Ephesians that Paul spoke in chapter 6. When we look at those verses within the context of Paul's entire letter to the Ephesians, always remember this. If you're looking for wisdom, if you're looking for understanding for something in the Word of God, one of the keys, just one, but one of the keys to always remember for insight and understanding, look at that verse or those verses in context. So as we read the entire letter, as we look at Paul's entire letter to the Ephesians, it's by reading the entire letter and seeing the entire letter, we then realize by reading the entirety of the letter, we realize that Paul has already revealed to us how we put on that whole armor of God. If you look two chapters earlier, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is speaking about putting on. So again, we see that same terminology. Paul says that we are to put on the nature of Christ. And Paul also tells us that we already have His nature within us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have His nature. So the daily choice that you and I have, daily we choose whether we are putting on the nature of Christ that is already in us, or whether we're going to put on the nature of the old man and the flesh. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians. This is chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 22 through 24. This is in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Strip yourselves of your former nature. In the same way that last week we saw that Jesus stripped Satan of his power and his authority, in that same way, we have the strength in Jesus Christ to strip the old nature from us. Strip yourselves of your old nature. Put off, as He tells us to put on the full armor, we're also told earlier, put off, discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed. Daily, we have to make this choice. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. That's what Tony was talking about. You got to choose today. You get to choose to put on joy. You get to choose to put on the things of Christ and the nature of Christ. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. In both chapters 4 and 6, Paul is using the imagery of putting something on. When we put on, Paul is showing us in his letter that when we put on the nature of Christ that is already in you as a believer, when you put on the nature of Christ, when you make that choice to start every day, you are also putting on the whole armor of God. So the choice then is up to me. Every day, I choose. Am I going to put on, which one am I putting on? Am I putting on the nature of the flesh, the old man, or am I putting on the nature of Christ that is in me? That is our choice. Listen, you are not going to be a devil chaser today if you've chosen to put on the nature of the flesh. If you've chosen to put on the nature of the flesh instead of putting on the nature of Christ, you're not going to be chasing the enemy out of your life today. Remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at that account. We saw the example of David. And if you remember, when David was about to go into battle with Goliath, we saw that King Saul wanted David to wear his armor into battle. Let's look at that. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 and 39. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. If I am living my life in the flesh, if I have chosen to put on the nature of the flesh of the old man, I'm probably going to find that when I try to stand, when I try to put on the whole armor of God, the armor of God is not going to feel comfortable because it has not been fitted and sized for me. When we operate in the flesh, we become spiritually very clumsy. Picture this. When you operate in the flesh, spiritually, you're clumsy. And I'm going to give you a great illustration of that from my own personal life. When I was 13 and 14 years old, we were living in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And to my good fortune, in those years, the Kansas City Royals baseball team did their spring training in Fort Myers, Florida. And when I was 14 years old, all that mattered to me was baseball. And I was favored. I got a job being the bat boy for the Kansas City Royals in spring training for 2 years. It was awesome. So as a boy who loves baseball every day, I got to talk to and play catch with and just fool around with these men who I had idolized. It was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. For a month, 2 years, I got to do that. One of the great benefits of being a bat boy for the Kansas City Royals was you got dibs on anything that got left behind. And so because players left, and this is what happened. You got a month. Usually when spring training starts, you've got about 70 guys in camp. And every day, those guys are either being cut and sent to the minors, they're being traded, or they're being outright released from the club. So the numbers are continually going down. And what happens is when the players leave, if they leave something there, the trainer would come. There was two of us bat boys. The trainer would come and say, hey, you guys want this? Yeah. So I had a Kansas City Royals baseball hat from one of the players. My mom had to put a safety pin in the back so it would cinch it up enough that it would fit on my head. I had a T-shirt that was an undershirt that they wore under the jerseys. And then one day in the middle of spring training, the trainer came to me and he said, hey, do you want these cleats? A guy named Barry Razziano was a pitcher for the Royals, and he got outright released. So he's no longer at all even in the Kansas City Royals organization. And the trainer came up and he said, do you want these? I said, yeah. So that very next day, and you have to understand this also, Barry Razziano, and I know this for a fact because I looked these stats up this week. Barry Razziano was 5'10", and he weighed 170 pounds. Now, at the time, I was 14 and I was small for my age. So I was barely 5 feet tall. And I weighed roughly 80 pounds because I didn't break 100 pounds until I was 17. So I picture someone being much smaller than Barry Razziano, but I got his cleats. So that was on a Friday. I know that because the next day, Saturday, I get to be there all day long. So I was there when they're out there getting ready. I'm one of the first ones out there in the field. The players start coming out. And sometimes the players would ask you if you wanted to shag fly balls with them, which as a kid is great. You're out there with major league ball players shagging fly balls. So I've got on my Kansas City Royals hat. I got on my T-shirt. I got all the implements. I got actual cleats from an actual baseball player. I'm out there shagging flies with the Kansas City Royals. And the first fly ball that came my way, it was in front of me. And so I had to charge in. And I'm going to impress all these players around me. I charge in for that ball. But I'm wearing cleats that are like clown feet because they are so much bigger than my feet. I took like 3 or 4 running steps, and all I remember was seeing the ground come right towards my face. And I tumbled, and both shoes flew off in both directions, and I laid there stunned, and I got up to this sound. Marty Patton, who after that was not one of my favorite players again, but I got up and Marty Patton was standing there and he was laughing so hard he was clutching his stomach like this, doubled over in laughter. Here's the thing. I had the implements of a Major League Baseball player. I had the hat, I had the shirt, I had the cleats, I had all of the implements, but I had the nature of a boy. I didn't have the nature of a man. and I didn't have the nature of a Major League Baseball player. That boy stumbling clumsily, that is a picture of you and I when we try to put the armor of God on over the flesh. When I choose to put on, as Paul said, to put on the nature of Christ that is in me, when I choose to put on that nature, then the armor of God is perfectly sized and fitted for me in Jesus. Then I can advance the kingdom of God in His power, in His authority. If I do it the other way, we are in the flesh, we are spiritually clumsy. Put on the nature of Christ. Make the choice every day. What am I going to do? And each one of us knows what that looks like in our lives. We know what it is to choose to put on the nature of the flesh. It's by the choices that we make. Choose to put on the nature of Christ that is already in you. As you do so, you are putting on the whole armor of God. Now, having chosen to put on the whole nature of Christ, the nature of Christ, I have actually then put on the whole armor of God. Now I'm ready for the next step. And Paul reveals the next step to us in Ephesians chapter 5. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going down one more chapter. In the very first verse, it says this. This is the Amplified Bible. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Notice that Ephesians chapter 5 begins with the word, therefore. In other words, that saying, because of everything that we have learned, because of everything that we have read, because of everything that has led up to this point, Ephesians chapter 5, because of everything we've learned up to this point, we can copy Christ and follow His example. So, what's the example that Christ has given us that we can copy? Is there an example where we can see where Jesus stands against the enemy and the result of that stand is the enemy flees? Well, remember, right after Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, we see that He was sent into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And there, Jesus stood, and He stood against every single temptation that Satan brought against Him. And Jesus stood against all of those temptations in the same flesh that you and I dwell in. Now remember, Paul said that in the whole armor of God, we are to stand, and having done all, we continue to stand. So what's the example that Jesus demonstrates for us in the wilderness that we're supposed to follow? What's the example that He sets that we are supposed to follow so we can copy Him? Jesus answered every single temptation of Satan. He answered every temptation by speaking the Word of God. And each time He spoke the Word of God, don't miss this, each time He spoke the Word of God, He spoke the Word of God from the Old Testament. In other words, He spoke the Word of God that had already been given and was already available to all men. Jesus is the Word of God. Anything that Jesus would have spoken at that moment would have been the Word of God, and it would have been sufficient to overcome the enemy. But this is the example that Jesus gave to us. He gave us the example so that we could put on His nature, put on the whole armor of God, speak His Word, and speak His Word with authority. And He wants us to speak His Word with authority. So let me emphasize this again. Jesus has taken Satan's armor from him. So the sword of God that you wield when you speak the Word of God, Satan has no armor against that at all. So speak the Word of God. Speak the Word of God, and the devil will flee from you. In whatever that is that's come against you, the enemy will flee from you. Just as we saw what took place in the wilderness following the temptation. We see that actually, you can read it for yourself in Luke chapter 4, verse number 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, after Jesus stood against every temptation by speaking the word of God that already existed, after the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the example that Jesus set for us. Put on the nature of Christ that is already in you. Choose today, choose tomorrow, choose every day. Put on the nature of Christ that is in you. And you are putting on the whole armor of Jesus. And having done that, speak the word of God. Speak the word, and the enemy will depart from you. Now, let's return to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul's giving us those verses about putting on the whole armor of God. If you notice when you read that, in verse number 11, Paul says to put on the whole armor of God. But just two verses later, in verse number 13, Paul says, take up the full armor of God. There is an important distinction between both of those phrases. Now, we've already learned, it was either last week or the week before, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we've already learned what it means to put on the whole armor of God. We saw that it means to clothe or be clothed in the sense of having sunk into the garment. So that's just another way of saying that we are now one in Jesus Christ. We have become part. We are one. We have sunk into the very garment of Jesus himself. You're one with Jesus. So how's that different than take up the whole armor of God? In the New Testament, the most common usage of the Greek word that we read there as take up, the most common usage is pointing in the direction or referring to when Jesus was taken up, when Jesus ascended from this natural world into heaven in complete and total victory. For example, one of the times we see that, this is Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Because Jesus was taken up in total, complete victory, because he was taken up, you and I, we have the authority of Jesus Christ to speak the word of God. And in speaking his word, we bring everything that's already established for us by Jesus. Everything that is established, prepared, and done in the spiritual realm, we bring it from the spiritual realm into this natural realm where it can be manifested in this life. Because as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17, and I want to show you this, but I just want to focus on the second half of that verse. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is right now in the heavenly realm, as he is right now in the heavens, totally victorious over everything, as he is, so are you and I here in this world. This is who we are. So Paul says to put on and to take up the whole armor of God. Because I have sunk into the very garment of his salvation, because I believe in Jesus Christ, I've accepted his sacrifice, I have become one, I have sunk into the very garment of his salvation. Because of that, I can put on the new nature. I can put on the nature of Christ that is in me. And I can take up his power, his authority, and his victory. You like that imagery? Isaiah did. Isaiah prophesied about that very thing. Look at this from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Am I going too fast? Am I speeding through? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. What Isaiah could only foresee prophetically is now ours in Jesus Christ. We who believe, We have been clothed in the garment of His salvation. So we can put on His nature. We can put on the whole armor of God, and we can take up His victories. We can take up that whole armor. Speak the word of God and put the enemy to flight. This is what He's showing us. And it's the daily choice that we have. The nature of Christ is in you. It's in me already. Do I want to put on the nature of Christ, or am I going to put on the nature of man? Now, interestingly, there's another place in the Bible that we do see God giving instructions to put on specific garments or implements. We see it when God is speaking to Moses and telling Moses about the garments that the priests are supposed to wear. So look at this. This is from Exodus chapter 28, verse number 4. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. I want you to think about this and notice this. Notice that in both the armor of God that Paul is speaking about, as well as in the priestly garments that Exodus 28 is talking about, in both of those, they both include a breastplate and they both include a belt or a sash. So right away, there's two places in the Bible that we see this imagery of putting on garments and implements. And right away, when we compare them, we can see that there is a connection between the two of them. Already, we can see a connection. We see a connection between the implements of the armor of God and the implements that are established in part of the priestly garment. Is there other connections? Is there other similarities and other comparisons? Indeed, there is. Both garments, the priestly garments and the armor of God, both of these garments, both of them are important to you and I today, because you and I today are a royal priesthood in Jesus. This is what it says in 1 Peter. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures all in a row. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. Revelation also talks about this. Revelation identifies you and I as kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6. And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Kings in the Bible have the physical authority of God. Priests of the Bible had the spiritual authority of God. Kings had the authority to lead the people into battles. Priests had the authority to offer sacrifices and bring the people into the presence of God so that they could receive His promises and His blessings. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood. We have the authority in both areas, in both realms. So put on the priestly garments and put on the armor of God as His kings, because you have the authority to do battle in both the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. And in so doing, you chase the enemy out of your life, and you also chase the enemy out of the lives of others. You've got that authority. And in so doing there, you lead people into the reality and into the presence of Jesus Christ. Satan has no armor against the sword of God that you wield when you speak His word. Make the choice every day. Make the choice to put on the nature of Christ that is already in you. And in so doing, you are putting on the whole armor of God. Now, in that whole armor of God, see yourself in the spiritual realm, in His whole armor. See yourself as a heavily armed part of Jesus' infantry. He's prepared you and given you the spiritual authority, which means you have the authority in the spiritual realm, and you have the authority here in the physical, the natural realm as well. Now, next week, we're going to look. We're going to see how these two tie together, both the priestly garments and all of these things. We're going to spend time. Finally, we're going to actually look in week number 5. We're going to actually look at some of these implements that Paul describes to us as he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. So we'll look at those next week. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and praise God. Praise Him with joy today.